Hey, welcome everyone. So we watch stuff. I believe this is episode number 194. I lost my notes already. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves this lovely week as the fall begins.
I don't know where you're at. How hot is it in Texas?
I mean, it's cooler than it's been before. So right now it's a high 93. It's 82 degrees. It's a sunny day.
Yeah.
And it cools off. I mean, I'm looking at temperature. It's funny because the weekend is in the high 90s and then it drops. This is Texas weather. Sunday's a high 96. Monday's a high 76.
Okay. See, ours, we had a 99 degree day this week. And I know this is old man talk. Bear with us. It's not supposed to be doing this end of September, October here. We're actually setting like record highs. And tomorrow, it's going to be a high of 71.
Yeah.
It's going to be 95 today. And it's like, usually that happens when a storm front rolls through. Nope. Just overnight, it's going to drop down into the 50s. It's going to go from almost 40 to 50 degree difference.
Climate change.
Ugh. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, we're here. Obviously, we both saw Joker, but we're going to save that for the end to keep you interested. Real quick, I know you said you did do a show with Kevin about AEW, NXT, all that. Real quick on your time, on your side, what'd you think? Like, was there one you liked better than the other or any of that kind of stuff?
I think AEW had a better aspect presentation wise. It looked like Major League. It was the first promotion since WCW went out of business that looked like a WWE show as far as like presentation and like scale. Like it looked big league, and you hadn't really seen that in a long ass time. It was just jarring to see it. So from that aspect, it definitely had the advantage. Because, but as far as show wise, it was NXT. Like I talked to Kevin about it. I don't have issue personally with AEW. I hope they're there because it makes everything better when you have competition. They have too many people that's at the top of the card that I either am indifferent with or cannot stand. And that affects my viewing because it's like, I don't care about this guy. I don't like this guy. Why I'm seeing this guy? And it's like, you know, give it a chance. It's the first week. It's a new thing. Cool. NXT was a great show from top to bottom, so I was just watching that. But it just looks... They need to get out of Full Sail if they're going to do this live, because it's kind of like that's going to be a thing where AEW is doing, if they're doing weekly 4 to 5 figure people in stadiums and like arenas, and you're doing 400 to 500.
Yep. And that was my first takeaway, was switching, because as we were talking, I wasn't smart enough to pull it up on my tablet. So I was going back and forth between the two. And yeah, the difference, you go from one channel to the other and you're like, oh wow. And now the Full Sail crowd, I mean, they were amped. They were amped for everything. So I'm like, was there a crowd coach or something? This seems a little ridiculous how happy they are.
I mean, they're like prime time. It's live. Like the crowd was definitely amped. And if it didn't feel, you know, like they did as much as possible to make it feel like a big show. You know, you got Wale rapping out the Street Profits.
Okay, like that's... I was a little underwhelmed by that. I think, but because it's going from here to the kitchen. That's how long the entrance was.
Yeah, but that's the fact that that's a thing. And I've always made the joke like Triple H is the modern day Paul Heyman, but it's like he has his finger on the pulse of modern. Like NXT, one thing I say about NXT, it always feels modern in a way that almost nothing else does in wrestling, even anything on WWE TV. And it's like it's noticeable. But you can only do so much when you got like a small ECW size arena. And I know they're not looking at direct competition. I know WWE sent out, you know, an announcement, you know, congratulating AEW on the ratings win and telling, you know, at the end of the day, the fans win because you have more competition, better options, which is very magnanimous because I would never expect them to do anything like that with WCW. So, but it's still noticeable. Like, I don't know how much you want to change that. Like, NXT works better in smaller places like that. Like, it doesn't have to be Full Sail, but I don't think it's like, you know, you're not going to have a takeover crowd every week.
I agree with you on the takeover crowd, but it's almost as if they could just get into like 5,000 seat places. But then again, I wonder, like, they've shown like house shows, like house show business is still down. if they even advertise them anymore. Like, honestly, the only house shows I know of are NXT house shows. I never see a WWE one.
I mean, they're around, but it's kind of like, if they're not in your area, you're not going to know. Like, I know right. when WWE's in town, when they send me an email, or when I see a TV commercial, like when they come to Waco. Oh,
that's funny. I never see commercials.
I see one, like, on local TV. I'll see that. So, like, because a lot of time when they do house shows, they come to Waco, or they normally don't come to Austin unless it's, like, for Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of like this. It's now between a rock and a hard place where I know people making a big deal about AEW having higher numbers, but I'm like, they're two different things. It's AEW is not going against Raw or SmackDown. They're going against NXT, and they're going against NXT. So if the numbers, like, so if AEW's pulling like a 1.2, 1.3, and NXT's pulling down a 0.9, 0.1, I doubt WWE's going to complain that much.
And honestly, they even said, like, network numbers that, it, like, a lot of people like NXT, right? But they still pale in comparison to, like, it's the top most watched non-pay-per-view event on the network. But even then, it was still, like, under a million people, which is crazy. But, I mean, I guess they only have, what, 2 million subscribers, so I guess it's about 50-50. But it was never a huge audience anyways. So then you got, like, your diehards, whatever else. So if AEW wouldn't have beaten NXT in the ratings, wouldn't that have been a failure? I mean,
it would have looked
bad. Advertising, you had celebrities tweeting about it. I mean, and that's their audience, is like online presence and all that. I mean, look at some of the stars in there, which I do want to see who, like, the guys you're talking about on the top, but we'll get back to that in a second. But no, like, I automatically thought AEW was going to win just because of, I mean, they had advertisements here. They had it on like TLC or some. We were watching one of these stupid, I don't know, like, I Love You shows. You get married at first sight. I don't know if you know mm-hmm. about this one. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, of course I do.
Oh, my God. And all of a sudden, an AEW commercial came on during it. I'm like, huh? That's kind of weird, but, I mean, Time Warner. No, not Time Warner. Yeah, that's who TNT is, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got them all over the place.
I mean, if you've been watching TV, you've seen the AEW commercial, because I've seen it on almost every channel I've watched at least once. I laugh how many times I've seen it on USA.
Yes, during WWE programming too.
Mm-hmm. So that's just, it's funny. But between that and SmackDown, I've been seeing plenty of wrestling commercials the past few weeks, and it's just a weird thing where it's like you have two major league promotions now. You have a thing where, you know, you have, like, wrestling is cool. Not this whole ha-ha cool, like, wrestling is cool. People paying a lot of money to broadcast wrestling, want to have wrestling. And tonight, I'm going to be at work, and I can't tell you how forward I am to looking forward for SmackDown. I can't remember the last time I ever felt that way about, like, WWE, just regular TV, not pay-per-view. Like, I'm looking forward to this show. I am definitely looking forward to SmackDown.
I'm trying to figure out, is SmackDown going to be 5 hours long? The amount of stuff they're fitting onto that, I'm going, is there going to be any matches outside of Brock and Kofi?
No, they already announced three.
What are the other two?
Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon, gets fired, and then the tag match with the Horsewomen.
Okay. That one can always go short, I'm guessing. But, I mean, they got the Rock. I mean, unless they're doing, like, video packages for some of these people. But everyone that they're advertising, I'm going, damn, who the hell, who's going to be able to wrestle on this show? But, I mean, they'll make it work. And they also have, what, that half-hour show, too, beforehand. So maybe it'll fit some people there. But you're not having The Rock on SmackDown and go, you got 5 minutes. And be like, yeah, cool. Yeah, that ain't happening.
I mean, unless it's like, you got 5 minutes for me because I got a plane to fly. And I'll just laugh at the fact, like, John Cena sent a tweet out saying, you know, I wish I could be there at SmackDown, but I'm busy filming at Fast 9. I learned the Power family. Luckily, The Rock is there to represent for the Fast and Furious family. And the irony of The Rock making it to SmackDown, but John Cena being too busy because he's filming a Fast and Furious movie, is not lost upon me.
Yeah, boy.
Like, that is just
weird. We just live in a weird time anyways, but yeah.
Yeah, because I remember the whole thing is like, that whole beef started because The Rock was too busy making movies and he wasn't there like John Cena. And now the shoe's on the other foot and no one has a problem with it.
I'm also wondering if Rock's like, man, I got Jumanji coming. I got this coming.
Well, him and Vin Diesel apparently made up, so...
Yeah, where did you messaged me that. Where'd you see that at? Just out of curiosity.
Because Vin Diesel sent him like a congratulatory post on Rock's page when Rock got married.
Oh, okay.
And then Rock sent one back, like, you know, and then I guess it's kind of like, you know, talk things out, respect anything like that, and then made a comment about, you know, all roads lead eventually the same place, like making a comment where if Rock doesn't show up at the end of Fast 9, it's a good chance he'll be back for like Fast and Furious 10.
Which is so silly to say it like that.
I mean, yeah,
Furious 10. Because yeah, they actually showed the first one on TV the other day. I sat down to watch it, and I'm going, boy, they made the right decision. Like, the direction they went, just the ridiculousness of the franchise now.
Yeah. Every journey starts with a small step. But, no, back to Wednesday. Like, I think part of my enjoyment was I was watching AEW on my tablet, and it probably was like it lost a lot in scale because the crowd was into everything, and the crowd was loud, but it didn't come off as well watching on a tablet compared to watching on TV. If I was to do it over again, I probably would have reversed it. But match quality, I was like, AEW was okay. I think it's like one match I actually liked. The rest of them was just like there.
The match quality, NXT blew them away. What was funny, there was definitely some counter match programming going on. You start off with Cole and Riddle. I mean, you know what you're doing. The only thing that could have topped it was Cole and Gargano again, or Ciampa, which I guess we can get into in a second. Like, have that. So to put Riddle out there, though, like, I was actually surprised that. Oh, okay, and that was the other thing. The AEW may need to learn. Well, I'm doing two different things. The match quality was crazy. The Baszler Candice LeRae match. That's probably my favorite match Baszler's had since she's been champion. And maybe it was because Candice was going all over the place, but the lighter wrestler, heavier wrestler, to put it like the heavy in the face, whatever, it just worked in this one. And then there was no interference, and then everyone just kept going. And I saw AEW later that night, and then the next morning when I was working. I did not enjoy the women's match. I turned it on.
You weren't the only one to say that.
And that was bad. I'm sorry. All right. Make sure this is perfectly clear. It has nothing to do with Nyla Rose of her being transgender or any of that stuff. It has nothing to do with that. We were flipping back and forth because NXT was actually going to commercial by this point. So we switched over. As soon as I switched over, they botched two of their first three moves I saw. And I went, okay.
I mean,
And it took me out of it. And then this 80-pound girl is going to beat this, I'm guessing, 150-pound woman? Like,
I mean, come on now. You watch TNA. How many times Gail Kim beat Awesome Kong?
Yeah. You know. Gail Kim, all right, and this is going to sound insulting, and I'm just going to say it this way. Gail Kim looked athletic. Poor Rio, she just looks tiny.
But also, Awesome Kong outweighed Gail Kim by like 165 pounds. So I don't care how athletic you look. If it's a size difference, you either go with it or don't go with it. And a lot of people said that about the women's match. I was watching it and I was like, yeah, there's a gap in skill between the two, and it's noticeable and not in a good way. That's just things you work out with. That's just things you work out. I'm surprised you didn't make the first joke. Like, they both start off with their matches, and both matches end almost at the exact same time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That was very obvious, too. It's like, okay. So, yeah.
Like, was somebody watching, like, okay, go to the pinfall? Like, it was just amazing, like within 3 seconds of each other. Because I was watching AEW on like a, when you watch on the tablet, it's like a 5 to 7 second delay compared to watching on TV. And the Riddle match ended, and then I turn around and the Cody Rhodes match ended. I'm like, how about that? What are the odds that happened? So I was just, you know, laughing at that. But, you know, like on one, I'm watching NXT and I see Finn Balor coming back.
Okay. Yeah.
I see, like, you know, Pete Dunne setting up, you know, a program with Damian Priest because Pete Dunne is living in America full time. I see commercials for Kushida fighting Walter. I see a commercial saying, oh, yeah, Drew Gulak's defending the NXT Cruiserweight title.
Yes.
It ain't the 205 title anymore. Like, it's taking that title. And then I see an awesome tag team main event. And then I see Ciampa come back. And what I see AEW, drunk stepdad Chris Jericho with that sloppy ass elbow and that ridiculous jacket. Like, and Jake and
there
Jake.
There you go. Thank you.
And I'm like, okay, like I'm just watching this. Like, if you're a non-wrestling fan, you may feel a certain way. If you're a wrestling fan, it's like, this are we in 2019 or 2009?
Yeah. Now listen, I got nothing against Jake Hager, you know, but okay. And then when I see like people reacting online, oh my god, Hager's back. I'm like, Who's actually excited for this?
Like, yeah, like,
it's nothing personal, but he left and everyone went, okay. Well, released him.
People were a little excited when he popped up in Lucha Underground, but they weren't like, oh, he gonna change the face. Like, no, it's like, it's Jack Swagger. The only thing that happens is you put him in the ring with a bunch of small guys and then you realize how small everybody else in AEW is. Because people forget Jake Hager is built like Godzilla. He's got Billy Gunn disease, where he's a big guy that you forget how big he is till you put him in the ring with other people.
Yeah, and that was very obvious. But I don't know, when he was in Lucha, I mean, he was a monster. That's how they put him. And he's the champion, right? Or did he lose it?
I don't remember.
God, yeah, I forgot too. But yeah, I mean, it seemed like people who like AEW, and I'm not saying I'm not one of them, because I mean, they've had a couple shows, but the people who are like into AEW thought it was the greatest thing ever. And then there's the people on the outside like, okay, I'm getting into this, but that's not a big surprise to me. Like, I don't know.
I mean, we all have our preferences, and yeah. And to be fair, like, WWE's basically been by themselves for a long time, right. And there's a large generation of people that's kind of like, no matter how good WWE is, they're tired of WWE with good reason, because WWE hadn't done themselves favors for like quite a while. But one thing I've noticed online is like, there's definitely a bias there, whether it's known or unknown, with like wrestling commentators and like wrestling journalists toward this whole thing. Like, AEW is the hot, fresh thing. It feels like wrestling. And they broke down like the ratings, like, you know, more teenagers were watching the AEW. More teenagers were like, you know, the demographic that wrestling always chased for leaned more to AEW than NXT. I find that funny, because I'm like, maybe because I'm not a certain age, I'm trying to think what would be cool to, like, why would AEW be cooler than NXT beside the whole we're tired of WWE thing, based on what I watched? Like, why would I think Chris Jericho was cool if I'm in my 20s?
Well, it's because teenagers follow trends.
What's trendy about Chris? But my whole thing is like this. If we follow trends, I see the Street Profits going to come off way cooler than the Young Bucks.
Right.
Like,
yeah, no kidding.
So that's the thing that gets me, is kind of like, I don't get it. Maybe because it's like, I'm not that demographic. And they said they were breaking down where they got their numbers from. And apparently Charlotte, they got a big number. Like a abnormally big number for AEW compared to like everybody else.
Okay. That's so weird.
I mean, it's
there. Well, that's funny. It's okay. That's funny because there's still tickets available for when they come here. So that many people like watched it, but aren't, I mean, oh, maybe, you know, I should probably check and see if there's anything available now, but it did not sell out. So I don't know.
What arena are they running out of?
Bojangles Coliseum. It's about 7,500 people or something like that.
Just think about that. Like, it's a regular, when was the last time a non WWE show could just run an arena like that for like a non-pay-per-view and be like, we feel like we can comfortably get that? Because they said they got a, you know, 11,000 seat, 14,000 paid, because a lot of scalpers. And it's like, WWE only hits that number these days with pay-per-views.
Or like the Madison Square Garden sell out?
I mean, that's Madison Square Garden. They hadn't been there in like...
No, that was a thing.
They had... I mean, but they hadn't taped there, like, doing a Raw and SmackDown the longest because it cost so much. So it's kind of like, unless it's like a special show, WWE wasn't hitting numbers like that. And because a lot of Raws and SmackDowns, they don't hit numbers like that. They don't – it's funny. They only announce attendance these days on Raw and SmackDown once a sellout.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So before we move off of this, because we've got other stuff to cover, obviously – one, who are the people on top you don't like in AEW?
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Cody Rhodes is fine. As a wrestler, he's just, like, he's fine. I've never been excited about his matches, but he's fine. He's cool. No problem. I can't stand the Young Bucks. I'm glad they're successful. I'm glad they make money. It is no, and they are very talented in the ring at what they do. I cannot stand watching their matches. It just, their characters, the style of match they wrestle, like, it's, I hate it. Like, I hope it's just garbage. And it's, they're in a quiet taste, and my friends get on me talking about, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, if y'all want to like the Young Bucks, that's fine. I see two doofuses with them ridiculous haircuts that's doing super kicks over and over again. And doing a jumping around and doing hipster shit. It's like, whatever. Like, I can't, like, so that's there. Kenny Omega's a great wrestler that's a nerd. And not the type of nerd that I like either. Like, and it's hard because you got the Kenny Omega in the ring that does all the ring stuff that's excellent. And then you got the Kenny Omega, like, performer and all the outside stuff, which is just like, get this goofball out of my face. And then they're champions, and, you know, MJF, to hell with him.
Really? I'm surprised you don't like him. Just based on the fact he won't break character.
It's nothing cool about, okay, MAGA Miz. It's nothing cool about a dude that just punches down and being like, oh, I make jokes about fat people. Look at me. Ha ha. I'm like, that's easy. I remember something The Rock said a long time ago, like, any jackass can come out here and say, I'm going to do this at Sunday the 15th, blah, blah, blah. Like, they don't take no skill. Like, what he does doesn't take skill. It's like, he's got the balls to say it, and he has the conviction to keep on saying it, never apologize. Whoop-de-doo. Good for him. He's still in a niche that nobody else is going with good reason, because that shit is... I made a joke. I was watching my tablet, and he came out, and my feed froze. So I had to restart the TNT feed to watch. I was like, maybe Apple's trying to tell me something that Siri is listening to my pain. But no, I have friends that are a fan of his, and they like, oh, it's cool. I'm like, it ain't nothing. It's nothing hard about being an asshole. Anybody can do that. But my biggest thing is Chris Jericho being champion.
I know why they did it.
Yeah, I know why, too. He's the biggest profile name they have. It's like, if you're a casual fan, you know who Chris Jericho is. All I see is some middle-aged fat boy with that sloppy-ass elbow. I'm like, it's Vince Neil.
Oh, my God. I can't believe Elise didn't say that, because she loves hair metal.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right.
That's who it is. It's Vince Neil doing drop kicks.
Oh,
like,
my God. I'm never not going to see that now.
I don't know when I noticed it, but I noticed it and I could not unnotice it. And I'm like, he out there with the mascara and the jacket with the big-ass spikes and just wrestling at half speed. And I'm like, just the dude cracking jokes about Brock Lesnar being champion and how old that is. I'm like, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jericho's in that part where I don't know half the time if he's in character or not when he does stuff, or, like, I mean, obviously the whole thank you thing, whatever else, but if you read his books, he actually does, like, he actually admitted he starts to believe his own hype.
Mm-hmm.
So remember when he was doing that best in the world gimmick, he actually got into it and, like, mouthed off to Shawn Michaels backstage, and I was like, what the fuck? So he went and apologized, and Shawn, like, blew him off. And that was supposed to be when he, like, got the clarity of, like, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But you see the stuff, and it's like, is that stuff going to slowly start creeping back in with him?
I mean, you got to, what they say, you got to live the gimmick.
Yeah.
Look the part, be the part. Like, if you can't convince yourself, how are you going to convince other people? So I get that, but it's like, it ain't working.
I just see it going, all right, they gave it to him because of the name. And then also, if you watch a Hangman Page match, you go, yeah, they had to give it to Jericho because I don't dislike him. He's just boring. Like, he comes out with a rope, chaps, and a vest, and he's not Stan Hansen. Like, no. You look goofy.
You ain't Stan Hansen. You're not even JBL back when JBL was doing it.
Yeah. Like,
you're not even like... Like Reyna Gonzalez does that NXT, she looks far more formidable than you do. So,
saw her in person. Yes, she does. That's not even being like dirty.
I know.
She really is. Like, okay. So yeah.
I mean, like I said, the first week, definitely not. Nope. Like, it's the first week. You know, work the kinks out. We'll see what happens next week. See how they keep. You know, how many people they keep. And I'm glad we just have an alternative because it makes everybody stay on their toes. And it's not like a Mickey Mouse thing. I will just say this. If I'm ROH and if I'm Impact Wrestling, I'm really reconsidering how I do things. Because the thing is, it doesn't play to be in the middle. You're either going to be at the top or be at the bottom.
Right.
And like plenty of people, it's plenty of small indies like, the small ones going to still do their thing. Because I didn't tell you, I was like home Saturday and I turned on TV and it was like local channel. It was like World Class Victory Wrestling, something like that. Some offshoot thing. And Juventud Guerrero was there and I didn't recognize him because he was like 50 pounds bigger than he used to be. And like the main event was, who was it? Chavo Guerrero, MVP.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm wrestling. It's like they could have been wrestling in front of more than like 100 people, and I was like, "Wow, this is a Saturday. I'm watching MVP and Chavo on an indie show on TV."
I didn't even know MVP still wrestled.
I didn't either. So imagine my surprise. I didn't know Chavo wrestled anymore either. I figured he was just doing like his coaching, and you know, Glow needs a wrestling coach and doing stuff like that, or being an agent. And he did. They're having a match in front of, like I said, 100 people on basic network. It was like a local access channel. And I just happened to turn on it. I'm like, any time of the day, you can watch wrestling at this point.
Yes. Well, yeah, if you go to Twitch, there's wrestling on there. Like, I mean, Legion, like, I have Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling. Not a single person I've ever heard of is on there. But it's on there. It's free. So, yeah. I mean.
So, that's basically a pipeline. Like, people now are like, it's not this whole, I'm surprised when somebody wrestles. Like, wrestling is a thing now. But it's kind of like, WWE is always WWE.
Yeah.
I don't think they worry about AEW too much. It's not like back when the WCW days where it's like, if we don't get our shit together, we might go out of business. It's now, it's kind of like, okay, we need to keep our stuff together to stay on top. It's never like, WWE's never going to, like, they ain't going away at this point. So it's just kind of having somebody else there to keep your toes. And the indies will always be the indies. And the indie markets, from everything I've seen in red, is fine. It's like the ROHs and TNAs. It's like, y'all need to step up, basically.
Well, it's funny you mentioned TNA. Like, they've got another event coming up. It's in like a 4,000 seat place. It's almost sold out. That's crazy. I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't disagree with you. ROH, for sure, because they've come back here, and I'm like, no, I have zero interest. But it's just strange.
TNA's that roach that won't die.
They have that thing on Access TV Tuesday, which, did you realize how much there isn't on TV to watch on a Tuesday? I had no idea what to watch. I think we just start doing something else.
Yeah, because one, they move, because CW shows haven't come back yet. Yeah. They move SmackDown. So if you're not watching like regular TV shows or like stuff that's on USA, it ain't a lot to watch. So Tuesday's a perfect day now. So
yeah, and then Wednesday's overcrowded. What's Thursday?
Thursday. Besides NXT UK, because that got moved to Thursday.
And that's the nothing day anyways. So.
Yeah, but nothing really. Like, everything is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Oh, wait a minute. TNA is going to be on Tuesday. That's right. I'll record it.
So that's why I said Tuesday is a perfect day. Yeah, that's why I'm saying TNA is a perfect day for Tuesday was a perfect day for TNA because nobody else is there.
Yep. And then my final thought on the AEW thing, so we can move on. One thing that drove me nuts watching the show. It's pro wrestling, so obviously, you know, you take it for what it is. They kept saying how this was going to be a sports-based promotion. This is going to be a more realistic sports-based this. Hey, it's going to be a sports-based. It's going to be realistic. What happens in the very at the end of the very first match? Jericho comes out, beats the hell out of Cody Rhodes. No one helps. Everybody complains. AEW is going to do things smarter. Well, even Jim Ross, and I know people don't like Jim Ross much anymore for whatever reason. I love when you can tell he checks out. Because Cody's getting beat up, and Jim Ross goes, well, frankly, I'm surprised no one came down here to help him. And I'm like, and it was kind of like that. Like, so no one's going to help him? Okay. And then later on, you've got, there's something else in the middle I forget. And then during the main event, Kenny Omega gets attacked by Jon Moxley in the middle of the fucking match. And it's not a disqualification.
I was like, what's going on? He got DDT through a coffee table.
Yeah, and then they go all the way where the VIP area is. And again, Jim Ross goes, there's a VIP area? No one told me. And you, because you know, he's just going, this is stupid. And then he puts him through a glass table. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Yeah. Like, it's supposed to be sports-based, right? But you're still doing the same thing the other guys are doing.
Yeah, and I would just say as far as that goes, I'm glad Tony Schiavone's back.
Yes, he's on MLW, and to say he doesn't have the same fire as he showed on AEW would be an understatement. That man was loving being on that show.
Yeah, like, so, he's back on his network. Yeah. We're running out of time. Like, we all grew up as teenagers hearing Tony Schiavone saying, oh, you know, we got to finish this match because Mortal Kombat's about to start. So, yeah, like, that's the thing. And it's amazing. It's 2019, and we're talking about, like, Tony Schiavone and Jerry Lawler back in the announce tables, and it's just like...
rejuvenated Jerry Lawler?
Yes, a rejuvenated Jerry Lawler. I was like, wow. I like Jerry Lawler when he started. I got to a point where, like, I checked out on Jerry Lawler like everybody else, yep. And I was surprised, like, the Raw thing. It was like, Kevin asked about the announcer. I'm like, I didn't even notice him.
Right.
And that's in a good way. Like, they talked about the match. It was fine. It wasn't grating like Corey Graves can be all the damn time. So I was like, it worked. The match worked. I laughed at Lawler's corny-ass jokes, even when I shouldn't have, because someone were actually, like, funny in a grandpa way. Like, so, yeah. Like, and now tonight, Brock Lesnar's wrestling for the first time on TV in over 15 years. And earlier this week, I heard Chris Carter interview Kofi Kingston about, did you learn anything about fighting Brock after that match in Japan you had? And I'm like,
wow.
What universe am I living in? Yeah, Kofi was like, oh, you know about that. Like, yeah, you know, I know y'all had a match in 2015 and didn't go so well. How do you learn from past experiences to be ready for him on Friday? And he asked him that in like a regular sports conversation. And I'm looking at this clip and I'm gobsmacked. Like, Chris Carter's asking Kofi Kingston about his match with Brock Lesnar on SmackDown and bringing up a match that happened on NXT.
No, that was Beast in Japan or whatever.
Was that Beast in East? Yeah. All those live shows, NXT, even when it's not, yeah, like the Japan house show match that's like at 6 a.m. And I'm like, what world are we living in that this is happening?
Yeah. And is Chris Carter on Fox now?
Yeah.
He got fired from ESPN, so I'm unsure.
Yeah, he does that show with Nick Wright, so he's on Fox. He's on FS1.
Okay. So. Yeah, pretty. It's just.
Oh, and we'd be remiss to say CM Punk is about to be back doing that. You know, that show. So,
Yeah, it's man.
What?
So to move on a little bit. Yeah, we live in a strange time, man. Because, and we won't get into the CW show or Crisis because we got other stuff to talk about. Did you see the picture of Brandon Routh dressed as the Kingdom Come Superman standing next to? What's his name? Taylor? Is that right?
Tyler Hoechlin?
Yeah. Dressed as Superman. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Tom Welling as, you know, Clark Kent. I guess he doesn't. I don't know if he never became Superman. And I'm just going, what? And then now the woman, I cannot remember her name offhand, Lila is going to play Harbinger as well. They're going to have different actors playing different roles that they used to play. And I'm like,
they're trying to see if they can get Linda Carter to be Wonder Woman.
She was already on Supergirl. Why not?
Yeah. I'm like, why not? Like, man.
I was about to say, what's Adam West doing? But never mind. I forgot about that.
Yes, you know what he's doing. But Burt Ward will be there to represent. Yes. He will be there to represent because he's there too.
Come on. Throw some money and get Ben Affleck on there. Come on. That would be mind-blowing.
Yes, it would be. It's just so many things happening. But speaking of things happening with comics and movies, it's funny, right after we finished our show last week.
Yeah.
It was like right afterwards announced, oh, Sony and Marvel, you know, because we're talking about, you know, Kevin Feige doing Star Wars things. I guess he's going to be busy. He didn't need to worry about that Sony Spider-Man stuff. Breaking news. They made a deal.
For at least one more. That's what they
one
said.
More Spider-Man movie, and he gets to be in a Marvel movie.
Wait. You mean he gets to be in a Sony movie?
No, he gets to be in an additional Marvel movie.
Okay.
Also, they get to use Sony gets to use him in Sony movies if they want. So if they want to have him in a Venom movie, he can be in a Venom movie. And if you don't think he's not going to be in a Venom movie, I don't know what to tell you, because, yeah.
They should save him from Mobius, the living. Or is it Morbius or Mobius, the living vampire?
That movie. I hope that movie never gets made.
Aren't they? I thought they were already filming it because I know.
They are, unfortunately. So, but I'm like, one. I saw the whole breakdown. So it's basically like 25. You know, instead of like the 5% how it used to be, or 50% of what Marvel wanted, it's 25%. 25% of the profits, and they put up 25% of the cost. Fair. That's a fair and reasonable number. Like, that makes sense. Like, no one would have a problem with that.
Yeah, and well, what you told me before about Tom Holland being in the was it Uncharted, right? Is that what's going?
The movie they've been trying to make for like 8 years. Like, I can't remember when that first. They made four of those games, and they've been talking about making a movie since like the second one came out. So
I've never played those, but I heard those are movies anyways.
Those are fun ass games. Those are one of the best games like Sony's ever done. It's basically like playing a Indiana Jones, but like a cooler version of it. If that makes sense, like it's just fun.
Okay.
And so it's weird because it's like the same thing with Metal Gear Solid. People talk about making a movie out there. I'm like, they're already movies. So I don't know how you make a movie out of a game that's already a movie anyway.
Yeah.
But and I know they've been talking about doing that for the longest, and it was supposed to be older actors. Like Mark Wahlberg was originally supposed to be in that movie when they first started talking about doing that. That's how long ago it was. So they're going with like a different age range, but I think they finally got a director. So I guess filming will start soon. So it behooves them to listen to Tom Holland if they're paying him all that money to do that anyway, and you got him as Spider-Man. So apparently he went to Sony. He's like, let's make a deal. He went to Disney and is like, you know, let's make a deal. Let's all make money. And they listen to this young punk and it's like, you know what? Let's work something out. Let's make money together. Things have been working. Let's keep it working. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Yeah, it's as long as you keep making them good and interesting, it's going to make $1 billion again. So it's like, why even bother risking it? Because, I mean, I know we didn't exactly agree with everyone yelling at Sony about it. But at the same time, there's enough people that are like, no, I'm not going to see a Sony one. That's not my Spider-Man. I'm like,
yeah, all right, stop lying.
Yeah. So that got handled pretty quick. I mean, it was about a month.
They already got an announced date. So they're going to have, so 2021, they're going to have four Marvel Universe movies. First year they ever had four.
What year is that? I'm sorry.
2021.
Okay. Damn. Because DC's got what, three next year? Three.
DC has Birds of Prey,
Wonder Woman,
and Suicide Squad.
That is going to be 2020?
It's going to be 2020. They already started, like, I think it's supposed to be 2020 because they need to start working. As soon as he finished with that, he's going to start doing Guardians. So,
yeah, the whole landscape of this stuff is so bizarre to me now that, like, you'll just, all right. and I know how I won't digress into this, but you see Marvel's got a plan, and then there's DC going, hey, we're making movies. Let's go!
Yeah, like, if you can't do it the Marvel way, don't bother. Just make movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, the money's still the same, and it's like, well, who cares? Like, I don't, everything doesn't need to be, it's fun when everything's intertwined, but if you don't know how to do it right, it's best not to force it. Just do your thing, you know. You make your movie, you make your movie. If it's good, that's good. Maybe one day we can do Justice League over again, although I'm just imagining how that would look.
Okay, so there's that, of course. But then at the same time, why the hell isn't there a Shazam 2 already in the works?
They've talked about it. It's like working. It's the whole thing is, one, finalizing the script. And then I think the big thing with them is, okay, who's the villain? If they're doing this Black Adam movie, apparently they got a director. Like, one day they may film this thing. It's like, is he going to be the villain Shazam 2? Like, it's kind of like the Black Adam stuff's holding them up.
Well, I thought that's why they introduced Mr. Mind at the end of it. So he could be the next one, and then Bill, do your Black Adam movie, and then, you know, then you go, all right, you know.
Yeah, the whole thing is like, planning too far ahead is what got them in trouble the first place when the plan wasn't sound. So it's like, let's take our time and do it right. Because it's an audience. Like, the whole thing is, no matter how much the gap is, if you get it right the first time, the audience will be there the second time. Like, yeah. The same thing with, like, you know, Batman Begins was a great movie, but it didn't make a lot of money because Batman and Robin was trash. But by the time The Dark Knight came out, people were ready. And like, okay, I can trust Batman again, so I'll go see this movie. It's the same thing as, like, you know, when you have a bad movie that makes a lot of money, the next movie suffers. When you have a good movie that doesn't necessarily make a lot, the next movie does. Same thing with, like, X-Men First Class didn't make that much because people weren't sure about X-Men after The Last Stand and X-Men Origins Wolverine. Days of Future Past made a whole lot because, like, okay, we trust X-Men again. We'll go see this one. So it's like, you know, people who saw Shazam like Shazam. We trust Shazam. We're starting to trust DC again. And if you figure the Harley Quinn movie looks like it's going to be at least entertaining, Wonder Woman 2 will probably be good, and Suicide Squad with James Gunn will probably be good. It's like, by that time, by the time Shazam 2 comes out and Aquaman 2, it's like, we can trust DC again.
Do they even have an Aquaman 2 in the works yet? Because I know James Wan was busy.
They've been talking about doing that whole spinoff movie first, which is like, yeah, all right. Huh. I don't know. The horror, the trench. They were talking about doing that first and then do Aquaman 2. I'm like, what? I'm like, no. Like, stop. I know.
The trench, they don't talk. Like, that's why in the movie, all they did was attack. That's literally all they do. They even explain in the movie they're mindless, they're violent. That's it.
Okay, Jeremy, we live in a universe where WandaVision is going to be a sitcom that may or may not have a laugh track. Okay. So who am I to, like, know what's going on these days? I'm like, everything is upside down.
Yeah, and I'm going to go see all these because they sound cool. But just think of it this way. Marvel's gonna have an Eternals movie, a Tai Chi. Wait, not Tai Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Thank you. What else is on the docket? What other goofy ass movies are they planning? And they already had an Ant-Man. They had Captain Marvel, who were not like huge characters. And DC, Warner Brothers can't get a Flash movie off the ground. They can't get a Green Lantern Corps, which should be the easiest space movie ever to make.
They finally started casting with Batman. Yeah. And they're on their second Batman since they rebooted. Yeah. Keep that in mind. You on your second Batman, you haven't had one Batman movie yet. Something sound off with that?
Yeah.
Batman. And it's like, you know, we want to get, what's his name? Who's the fat boy? He's not fat. Oh, he's not even fat anymore. Jonah Hill. We're not sure which role we're going to play. And then it's like, you know, we got to make sure we pay him his money. And apparently he's going to make double what Robert Pattinson's making.
Jonah Hill is?
Yes. Well, Jonah Hill is an Oscar-nominated star. Robert Pattinson is the character actor from Twilight. And also, what would be a Batman movie without the villain making a lot more money than the hero in the first Batman movie?
That's true. Yeah.
Jack Nicholson made a whole lot more than Michael Keaton did. So, and then apparently we're going to have a Black Catwoman. So I'm looking forward to people complaining about that, because I've saw all the people like Dave trying to get.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
No. That's not my cat. Even like, even
it
though
is. It is your fucking Catwoman. Have you even heard of Eartha Kitt?
I'm about to bring up Eartha Kitt. You know, Eartha Kitt was the thing. It's like, I'm like, I got to see White Aqualad. So y'all shut up.
Oh, did you finish Titans, by the way?
Yes, grand opening, grand closing. Sure did.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that show did a lot, and we obviously have the main event coming up here, folks. That show did a lot to answer questions that we had last week, trying to figure out like. Wait, Jericho in the comics is a white guy with a blonde Jufro, which apparently I was corrected. It was a Jerry curl. Okay, cool. Anyways, he looks nothing like his dad. Rose looks nothing like her dad. And then the other kid is just whatever. So this show actually explained a little bit. Like, apparently he's part Asian in this, or in that section of the world, I'll say. And then that's where the kids obviously are from an Asian descent as well. So I was like, all right, they handled that just fine. And then, where the hell's Aqualad, and why is it this one? Well, they can pull Jackson in whenever they want now. So I was like, okay.
As soon as he found true love, pow! Yeah. That's how comic books work. Normally it's the woman that gets shot. So,
yes.
Yeah. Equality.
Yep, so I was like, oh, well, that answers that immediately, but... And that goes to the Earth, like I almost said Eartha Kitt, to the Catwoman thing. When they said it was Aqualad and it was Garth, I'm like, what are we doing this for? Well, one, because I like Jackson better, and then two, Garth's always been boring. So,
well, now you got to worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Well, no, he did die and came back as Tempest, so they can always bring that guy back if they wanted.
Well. We'll see if, you know, season three, if they want to do that, they can do that. Yeah. And this whole thing is like, you don't want to have the cast too big because you got just enough people as it is right now in episodes that are like 40 to 45 minutes. So, which is like, it's good to watch because you catch up quick, but it's like, you got to get in where you fit in. Quick thing before we move on to main event. It's funny, like, I remember season one, the whole dynamic with Hawk and Dove and Nightwing. And I was like, is this something I'm missing? Because it's like, she eyeballing him hard more than like, you know, it was a crush thing. And Hank was kind of like, oh, you still wish you was with Dick? And I'm like, am I missing something? So seeing last week's flashback episode, it's like, oh, now stuff. So there was actually a couple.
Well, maybe to her. But I love the way Dick explained it to Garth. He's like, I already know I'm just going to be the rebound. I'm the guy in between her and Hank. Like, knows he's hitting it while he can.
Yeah.
So I was like, good for
and
you,
Garth,
Dick.
And Garth is like, oh, yeah, because she seems like the type that just needs a man. Like, she's going to settle on you. Like, come on. Like, you as arrogant as your teacher. Like, it was just, I laughed at both of those things. But it's kind of like, it was jarring because, you know, it was a flashback thing. They all look the same age. And seeing them all lovey-dovey and Hank just there, like, chilling like Wolverine looking at Cyclops and Jean was just weird. Because I'm like, and when we first saw it, we saw them together, you know, they're going through stuff. And currently they're together now. So it was just weird seeing that back then.
Yeah, I was confused. Because, like, he had his arm around her and they're all chumming this. I'm going, and I like, my friends, like, hug Elise and that sort of stuff. But no one, like, just openly has their arms wrapped around while we're out. Like, why isn't Hank saying something? And then all of a sudden, like, they kind of explain it later, go, oh, okay, that's a weird way of going about it, but, and then something, yeah. I guess, I'm guessing the stuff what happens with, my idea is, because Jericho dies in the comics, is that something bad happens to Jericho while they're using him, and then that's what causes the fracture, I'm guessing.
I'm guessing that too, because she brought it up, like, we saw what happened last time we tried to use one of his kids, and we know how it ended up, so it's kind of like, I guess you can see why Deathstroke's pissed. You can kind of put two and two together if you saw what happened to flashback stuff, and how they talk about it now, and it's like, I'll just say this, Isaiah Morales is fine, but my Deathstroke's my new Bennett.
I wouldn't have minded seeing, who's a Joe, I almost said Mangala. Oh boy,
Manganiello.
Thank you. Yeah, Mangala's a totally different person. Or was.
Yeah. I think he's a little too big for a team. It's funny saying that with team. Yeah. Even though it's like we would never say that with Disney.
Yeah.
And it's just funny thinking about that. Like, oh yeah, you know, we got Ewan McGregor doing all that, but Joe Manganiello's too big for your streaming service. And I'm like, okay, if you say so. Like, I've seen the people that's been on TV and streaming. I'm like, if The Rock can be on a sitcom on HBO, I figure anybody can do a TV show. But what do I know?
Yeah, HBO still has that prestige to it, though. So,
but it's okay. Would Tom Cruise be on an HBO show?
I just saw what's her name of giant actress.
I mean, that's different actor. That's different actresses because, like, you hit a woman, you age out, so it's like you get in where you fit in. Would you see Denzel show up on, like, you know, a star show?
I was just about to say, well, Tom Hanks did Bosom Buddies, but
yeah, that's before Tom Hanks. I'm a movie star, so it's like it's still different where it shouldn't be that whole stigma at this point. Like, well, if the budget,
Denzel was on St. Elsewhere. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of this. Speaking of weird universes, we both saw Joker. My first question before you tell me how you like it. Were you see any cops?
No, not a one.
We was a few in our more, like, there's always one out there, but we saw more than one. And we saw like 4:30 in the daytime.
We went at 7 Eastern yesterday. Eastern don't matter, but no, there was nothing. You weren't allowed to wear face paint, I don't think. No. You were allowed to face paint. I just started laughing at this. He goes, Joker is not your typical comic book movie. And I go, one, it's not a comic book movie. There's, if you see the commercials and think Batman's showing up or something, it's like, no. Secondly, it's rated R.
But that's so what? So is Deadpool.
Oof. Nah, true.
So was Logan. I mean, it goes the whole thing, like, it's not your typical comic movie. But they used it like it was. So I'll get into what I want you to tell me about how you felt the movie first. Because what you talked about kind of like leans into a little thing I want to talk about.
Yeah. Well, one, no police at all. I mean, it was the same old, she's a sweetheart of a woman that from the few interactions I've had with her. It's just this like little overweight lady, probably 70. And I'm like, okay, sometimes she just looks at it. She goes, where are you going? Doesn't even check your ticket, just lets you in. Yeah, so that was going to be our crack security in case something went down.
Don't you go start nothing.
Yeah. You behave yourself. I'm like, honey, I'm here to see a movie. Don't worry about me. But I like the movie. One, I'll say it right now, it's not great. Like, the people, like, you see all those reviews. And by the way, if you ever see Peter Travers from Rolling Stone, a triumph or whatever he's calling this, it's Peter Travers from Rolling Stone. Don't worry about it. And I thought, watching it, I really enjoyed it. I was tense through the whole movie. And I think that was a conscious choice because I just dove into it. I'm like, I have no idea what to expect. And it starts off with him, like, you know, pulling his face and all that stuff, trying to do the smile, and you're like, okay, well, here we go. Well, at first I went, wait a minute, is this New York? I actually forgot it was supposed to be Gotham. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that blend, like, the real world, and it was actually Chicago, wasn't it? Isn't that where they filmed this? Again?
I mean, normally that's what they always do.
Yeah, but no, I enjoyed it. I thought it had a lot of themes, almost too many, too much, which I think bogged down certain parts. It was funny that we talked about Fight Club last week because we had an unreliable narrator that was showing you things that didn't exist. And then at the end, I sat there and I looked at Elise and I go, did any of this actually happen? Because he's in I'm guessing, Arkham at the end, and he supposedly kills the lady, which, was that the same counselor from the beginning?
I think so.
Okay.
The only thing that changed was you know, the hair. But yeah, it was the same one.
But so to me, I'm like, did any of this actually happen?
Or was you this... want to know what did happen? You want to know what did happen?
What's that?
A cinema in Huntington Beach, California that was going to show Joker closed on Thursday after 7 following the venue receiving what police believe to be a credible threat. So that's that happened. I don't know what happened in the movie. Yeah, I was wondering that in the movie, like how much of this stuff happened and how much didn't.
Because there were those weird shifts.
Yeah.
Like with all of a sudden him and Zazie? Yeah, Zazie.
Zazie Beetz, yeah.
And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. To where he goes, all of a sudden he starts kissing her. I'm like, this guy shows up in clown makeup at your door and you're making out with him, and all of a sudden they're like a couple, they're doing
and
this.
And at the hospital and getting like, I get you a coffee, and then, no.
Yeah, that threw me off. So I was very happy to see, and that's when it was like the Fight Club moment, where you go, wait a minute, none of this has happened. None of this has actually happened.
So. Yes. I will say the movie had excellent performance. Like, Joaquin Phoenix acted his ass off. So I'll say that from the jump. Like, he'll get nominated for stuff. He should get nominated for stuff. Like, he was, you know, that whole thing, acting. Mm-hmm. This is the best I've seen in Robert De Niro in a while. He wasn't in it a lot.
That's funny.
But,
boy, are we going to disagree then.
No, just the fact, just keep in mind, think about how lazy, not to say he was great, but think about how lazy he's been in stuff.
Uh-huh.
Just think about, you know, I know The Irishman comes out later this year, but it's like, when's the last time you saw a Robert De Niro movie? He was impressed with his performance.
And, well, which one was
American Hustle?
I forgot about that. I was actually going to say, what was the comedy he was in? Was it Analyze This? The first one, not the second one. He was really good in that.
It's a long time. I mean,
exactly.
It's like, you're talking about what, late 90s?
Yeah.
So, like, so. When he's doing like Ronin and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, Robert De Niro's been sleepwalking for a long, because I saw him plenty of movies with 50 Cent playing like a, you know, a jewelry fence. Yeah. So that's neither here or Batista also playing a jewelry fence. Yep. That's neither here nor there. So, like, you know, the movie looked beautiful. Yep. It definitely had like a, you know, it was shot well. The sound, whoever did the sound mix was great. My issue was the story. The story was hot garbage. Okay. And that was my, and it was kind of like, and that was my whole thing about the whole, well, it's not really a comic movie. It's not a Joker story. It's kind of like Todd Phillips wanted his cake and eat it too. He wanted to tell the psychological thriller, this art movie about, you know, madness and how it spirals and anything like that. And, you know, unreliable narratives and how people can crack under pressure and anything like that. But at the same time, it's like, I want people to see this movie. So how can I do this movie and have eyes on it? Oh, well, I can technically use the Joker. I can throw Thomas Wayne in there and turn him into Donald Trump. Boom! I get the comic fans in there, so I know I get their eyes, and if they see it, they can spread the news, and then casual fans will hear about, oh, I don't know about comics, but this don't look like a wham-bam laser beam movie, but I know who the Joker is, so I'll ball this. If you change Thomas Wayne's name, and he called the Joker character like "Call Me Clown." You can make the exact same movie. What would change? And call Gotham New York. And what would change about the movie?
But I don't see how that makes the story stupid, though.
No, my whole point is, what does this have to do with it? I said the whole thing is stupid because it's kind of like, what was the point of the movie?
The point of the movie was just a slow. It was. This is what I took from it. And this was just a slow descent, and there was an unraveling, but at the same time, it was an unraveling of self-identity. Like, he kept trying to do everything people were telling him to. And then when he finally lets go and does what he actually is, he was so happy, which is dark as shit, because the only thing that made him happy was killing people.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. He's... was it that slow? Like, I know it's kind of like he's a certain age. He had two bad days and he just lost his damn mind from all anything we saw. But I'm like, here's my main problem. You have a movie about a man becoming a villain and you don't have a hero to stop him.
That's where I thought that was very weird. And they were kind of setting up the cops, the two cops. They kind of set that up. And then they just get, I'm guessing, they didn't get beat to death, but...
Critical condition, so, like, yeah, okay. Shea Whigham getting beaten up for doing his job.
Yeah, yes. Well, okay, this is really bad. One, this is a bleak movie. Did you laugh at all in this?
I laughed for the wrong reason. I laughed every time he started laughing at the wrong times. Because whenever he... It was a few times when I laughed, and it involved when he was laughing when he shouldn't be laughing, because that laugh was just ridiculous. And he had the little car, like, I have condition, I laugh uncontrollably, please get the car back. And you just watching, and it's just like, he'll be laughing like that, and then his facial just changed, like, I'm normal and sad again. And it was just so off-putting. And I got what you're saying about the whole, like, they made Joker menacing and scary and stuff. Yes. And I'm like, yes, they did. Who gonna stop him?
Okay, so... What I was asking about the laugh is this movie is bleak from the first shot to the end. And I know you're supposed to get a laugh of him kind of like running away from the orderlies at the end. But you also see the bloody footprint leading up to it. And it's like, Jesus Christ. Like, so the part that made me laugh the most, which is really bad, is when the cops are getting beat up by the people. He stops and looks at him, and then just starts dancing. Like, I got away with it.
Oh, people laughed at that. People was laughing at him dancing.
Do you know how awful that is?
I mean, that's... Oh. But hold the thing. The movie was leading you toward that. Like, it's kind of like, you know, it's a bleak movie, but he getting like an origin... Okay, here's my biggest encapsulation of the movie. When he comes down, he's dressed up in the Joker garb, and he's dancing down the steps, and they playing that Gary Glitter song.
Yes.
And that song is blaring in the theater. Like, I'm here to be dum, 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 dum. And I'm like, what am I supposed to think watching this? Like, I know what the movie is telling me. I'm seeing this dude that's murdered at this point. He's killed these three people, killed his mom, killed the other dude, about to, you know, go down steps to his shining moment. And they playing this song by this dude that's known for, like, it's a reason they don't play his music anymore.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow. I'm just sitting there, like, and it's funny because Darlene, I asked her what she thought. She enjoyed it. She was like, you know, showing, you know, mental health and how important it is, and, like, you know, kindness to people, and how when you feel like you're being ignored and stepped on, you can lash out. I was like, I was to that point. Up until the time when he chased the other dude down off the train and shot him. And then from then on, it's like, it kept leading toward, like, yeah, he's bad, but he's around a bunch of bad people, so it's kind of justified that you see that. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but then you throw stuff like, I need to see the Joker beating off.
When was that? Did I miss
that? You must have missed that. Yes, it was in there. Blink if you missed it.
When was that?
And his tidy whities right before the scene when he broke in Zazie Beetz's apartment. And then you realize that whole quote-unquote relationship was a damn sham.
Oh, yeah, spoilers, guys. Sorry. Well, yeah, it's your fault by now, so.
Yeah, so, and it was kind of like, yeah, do you see that? It's like, oh.
I didn't catch that he was doing that. I did think, like, is he about to? So maybe I did, and my mind just went, nah, don't worry about it.
Your mom was protecting you.
Okay, and real quick, is there anything worse? Like, I don't know. I wear boxers still, and then even my gym shorts have, like, they've got, like, a liner that holds everything together. Is there anything worse than tidy whities, especially when they sag?
It takes a lot of effort for that to happen. Oh. No, not. Well, that's why we weigh a buck 10.
God so. Damn, that was. Yeah, it's terrible. That was the worst part of the movie to me.
Yeah, like, it's leading you stuff, like, sometimes you have a sympathy because, like, you know, he had a rough life and he finds out stuff about, you know, he just wants to live and everyone's, like, messing with him. But then he murdered people. It's like, oh, you know, Zazie Beetz, maybe they – because I'm like, okay, when he ran in and kissed her, I'm like, this seemed odd. Well, I was saying the same thing you think. And then I was like, is this stuff really happening? Because at first they established the whole thing with Robert De Niro. It's like, okay. We know that didn't happen, so... But you hadn't really thought about it. So then when she sees him again and you realize all this was in his head, and then he realized this, it's like, okay, this dude's a maniac. And then the stuff with Bruce, he's sticking his dirty fingers in his mouth and... I'm like...
Yeah, I had a problem with some of that, like... Okay, I know it's a... It was... What was it? Was it the 70s or 80s?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Okay. Apparently. So I guess you're not going to have your crack security like they would. But yeah, he just walks right up and doing all this and then almost chokes Alfred to death. And I'm like, I'm guessing that was Alfred, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, Should we sure about this? Like, and the cop's like, hey, we stopped by your place again. Wouldn't you be parking your ass outside there?
And I'm like, the way they established Thomas Wayne, y'all really think he just been cool with that? Because yeah. It's like, they made him out to be like a dickhead. Like, I ain't worried about these people. Think they bunch of clowns. These clowns need to get a job. Anyway, I'm running for mayor. Like, I'm just... And you know what I was thinking? I would have loved for Alec Baldwin to play that role. Because I was thinking that the whole time he was there. Because originally it was... I think it was like a schedule conflict or a script conflict or something. Because it was supposed to be him and he dropped out.
That would have been interesting. Kind of like a darker take on his 30 Rock character.
It's like, it's too many, like, it was enough stuff in there to lead you to where I have a simple level of sympathy, but it was too much stuff to drag you off. And it's like, you know, you shouldn't root for this person, but they lead in the movie to kind of like, who else you going to root for? And yes. that's the whole thing. Like, and that was my biggest issue. I talked about before. Saw the movie. When you have a villain movie without a hero, then you're going to root for the villain. It's a reason why. Like, even with like the Sons of Land movie, like the second one was, you know, called Hannibal. It was a certain perspective. Clarice Starling is still there to stop him. Like, it's still like a hero trying to like save the day. You got a villain with no hero, then what you got? You just.
And I think that's just going to throw you off. And see, to me, like, him at the end, like, there was, I see where you're getting at about rooting for him, because I wasn't, because I'm like, this guy's straight up killing people now. But then at the same time, like, for me, I'm looking at going, this is kind of how the Joker would act. Like, that scene was tense as hell. He stabs the guy in the neck, and it just bashes his head in. And then the little dude's standing there, and he's like, oh my God, oh my God. And like, genuine fright. And he's just sitting there like, wow, what's the matter with you? And then he goes, oh no, go out. And the guy's like, I can't reach the lock.
Oh, people laughed at that.
And I went, oh, I wasn't laughing at all. I was like, oh no. And then he goes over. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. He gets up, lets it go. And he goes, you were always nice to me. Kisses him on the head, shuts the door. And I was like, oh Jesus Christ, they are going to mess this poor guy up. And then he just lets him go. Yeah. Which is exactly how the Joker would act, just to menace somebody.
Yeah, and like the whole
that
scene.
That blank face, too, where there was, like, no red lips or eyes. Jesus.
And, like, the whole scene when they're at the show, and Robert De Niro all of a sudden is like, you know, you think, oh, because you got bullied, that gives you the right to hurt these. And it's funny, he kept talking about the Wall Street dudes that were basically assholes, like, these young men.
Yes.
It gives you the right to hurt these young. And he kept saying it over and over again, like, to reinforce, like, yes, these men were bad. They were still men. They weren't, like, as far as, you know, criminals. And you feel like you get the right to do that. And it's, and he just snapped, like, you know, you people don't even notice people like this. And And he's going on this whole monologue. And you know something bad's going to happen. But you don't know exactly what's going to happen. So when he just shot him, I was like, whoa, just...
Okay. See, that's in The Dark Knight Returns. So I knew De Niro was a goner.
Yeah, but so. It's kind of like, behold the thing, you basing off the comics.
Yeah.
You think Todd Phillips read that?
Yeah, they actually said they did do some stuff.
I mean, it's weird because they were specifically talking about how we're not really trying to follow the comics like that. We're just trying to tell our own story with that. So I'm surprised he read anything from that. Yeah. But, you know, see that there, and then he gets arrested, and then they escape. And now I'm thinking, is he going to escape? Because, you know, they let him out. And then, of course, even when we don't have a Batman movie, we got to see Bruce Wayne's parents die.
See, I was like, what the fuck ever. That lost me. And Alicia goes, I really like how they tied that together. And I go, it wasn't necessary, though. And then at the same time, I go, did that even happen? Because he telling his therapist, you just wouldn't get it. Yeah. Like, he thought it was hilarious, Bruce's parents are dead. Like, and that makes me like, how did he... Well, I guess he would know. There's news.
So. I mean, Thomas Wayne died, and like this rich guy about to run for mayor.
Yeah.
Him and his wife get murdered. It's going to be news. And then it's kind of like, you know... It's just funny where even in the non-Batman movie, we gotta get the story because how Batman becomes Batman. Yeah. And
I'm with you on that one. That's why I said it's a good movie, not a great movie. Yeah. There's just stuff like that.
I thought that whole thing was like I thought it was good performances. I thought it was like well done technical from a technical standpoint, it was just like, it's just weird talking about the movie, because in a vacuum, I get the story they were telling to a certain extent, although I feel like the story don't really need to be told because we've done it a zillion times. And I feel like they, like Ty Phillips, wanted to pull a fast one, like, I'm going to use the Joker name to tell a story I want to tell. It's the outside stuff. And, like, one, they didn't do themselves any favor. They get, oh, I can't just, you just watch my movie. Y'all, that's why I don't do comedy anymore, because y'all bullies. And, like, shut up.
Hey, shut up. He's not wrong, though.
Yes, he is.
Can you imagine The Hangover being made right now? Not well, a goddamn chance.
Here's the thing. No, you can make raunchy ass. In hell, no, they would make. You want to know why? Because here's the thing. You can still make raunchy stuff now. Just make it mess. I always laugh at these comics. Like, I can't do the things I used to be able to do. Well, then do something different and do it better, like everybody else is doing. Stop whining. That's like Russell saying, it's a DDT used to win a match. Why can't we go about the good old days? All right, if the Rock and Roll Express is doing damn Canadian Destroyer, you can update your offense. Like, that's just how things go. I have no sympathy.
Canadian Destroyer used to end the match, too. That doesn't do it anymore, either.
That's fine. I have no sympathy for these old-ass fucks who complain about how they used to be able to do stuff, and they can't do it that way anymore, and it's a shame, and I don't know what to do. Either you adapt, or you just sit out.
So if you're good at something and someone doesn't like it, you should not do that anymore.
No, I'm saying...
That's exactly what you just said. Yeah, is adapt. No, yeah, I'm good at doing this.
Well, guess what? If they ain't laughing anymore, are you still good at it?
Well, the problem is, no one will know if you're allowed, if people are going to laugh at it, if a studio won't make it.
Okay. That's really stopping people?
Yes.
That's not.
What's the last raunchy comedy? And please don't say that dumb kids movie, the live action South Park thing that just came out.
No.
What's like the real Superbad? Wouldn't be able to make that anymore.
She could.
No, you couldn't. No, because it's kids drinking.
I just saw Good Boys, and they playing with fucking dildos and ecstasy. About. And
yes, a live action South Park.
You can still do that if you watch Date Night or Block. John Cena was butt chugging alcohol. It's a family man himself. Please don't tell me we can't do raunchy stuff anymore when the Boondocks is coming back next year. Like, that is yes, with the on HBO, like HBO, like their streaming service, with the original, you know, creator and the original voices. So
I'm surprised they're allowing him to do it. Because that guy's got a trail of baggage too.
Here's the thing: if you're good at stuff, they always give you a chance. As Mel Gibson has proven to me. So that's why I laugh at like cancel culture. All you do is you just sit out a semester. That's all it is. You sit out for a little bit, you wait for people to stop complaining, and you go right back at it. And if you're good at it, they give you a chance. And it's like, cause look at Mel Gibson. He never apologized for the stuff he did.
Yeah.
I make Hacksaw Ridge. People like it. I'm back. I'm back in the game. Is he changing? Nope. He ain't changed shit because he ain't have to because people let him play. So, no. If Eddie Murphy himself can be like, you know what? I can't do the same stuff I used to do because I'm not the same.
Calling people faggots, that's a little different than making some dirty ass stuff.
But the whole thing is like this. People got mad at him for apologizing. And he was doing that back in the 80s when everybody was doing it. Even though people knew it was wrong then, people just didn't care because no one listened to people said it was wrong. And people got mad at him for apologizing. I want you to be the same person you was 30-something years ago. What, are you an idiot? Like, no. If I was the same, I'm 40. If I had the same mindset that I had at 20, I'd run into a fucking brick wall. Like, I was an ass. Like, no, I wasn't. I was not the same person I am because you grow up. It's not the whole, you can still do the same kind. Just be good at it. You don't even have to be that good. Be good enough. Dave Chappelle's still doing it. He get a whole lot of money from Netflix. Some people complaining. Ain't nobody canceling him. Ain't nobody not going to his shows. Chris Rock is still doing it and still making a boatload of money. I do not want to hear this whole, I can't do my work no more because people don't like me. Like, Harvey Weinstein was raping people up and down, and he the only one that actually got stopped. He had to do like some criminal shit. Everybody else, they took a year off. That's it. And they right back in the game. Liam Neeson will be back. You know, people forget, oh, you know. he didn't really mean what he said about what he wanted to do to black people. I just saw Hulk Hogan on Raw. I want to hear nothing about what you can't, you know. Like, yeah, I want to hear that. Yeah, like,
the Hogan thing, that is... I know you went from Liam Neeson to Hogan. I know you're not equating the two, but it's like one's totally different than the other. And Jesus Christ. Every time I see Hogan now, that's all I think of.
Yeah.
Like, you're... and again, it was however long ago, you know, in dark time, whatever you want to say, all right? And you want to hope that he's changed. But at the same time, I wasn't a fan anyway, so fuck him. But I see him on TV, and that's all I think about now. And I know other people don't, but yeah, no, get off. And I don't want to see him on TV anymore. Him or Ric Flair, by the way.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, we talked about that. So that thing was a damn train wreck from both of them. But that's my whole point. That's why I laugh at Todd Phillips. Sure, you can do it. You just can't do the same old jokes they used to do. It's like people ain't doing. That's the whole thing. People ain't making the same jokes from the '80s they making now, because same reason why they ain't make the same jokes in the '80s they used to do in the '60s. Times change. It always like that. That don't mean you can't be. You can still be a comedian if people ain't laughing at you. And your job, we just saw the Joker. Was the whole thing, you know, I'm a comedian, no one's laughing at me. Then you failed it. That's your job. Like, you know, we can't say, oh, everybody just being soft. It's like, maybe the problem is you're not good enough. That's how it is.
When did you start thinking, to get back to the Joker, when did you start thinking that something's wrong in this movie? Like, when he goes and, like, basically mauls her, like, it was supposed to be a romantic way.
Yeah.
So he kills those three guys and goes and has sex with her, and then they're a couple. She goes to the comedy club. He's bombing, and all of a sudden, it starts fading out, and I go, wait a minute, this isn't going well, right? And then he goes off, and I'm like, you see in the commercial that it didn't go well. And that's, like, from the trailer, you know, Robert De Niro's character making fun of it. Mm-hmm. And I just started thinking, something's off with this movie. Like, something's wrong. And when you get to the end and all that. So that's where I was trying to figure out, when does this movie actually stop? Like, he gets on TV and kills Robert De Niro. Is that it? And then the rest of it's in his head?
You have no idea.
Yeah.
Because it's established from, like, the first time you see him in the audience at Robert De Niro's show and they hugging. It's kind of like, all right, we shouldn't trust this man too much.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of like, you can't help yourself. Because even when you watching it, it's like, you got to trust something. Because otherwise, either you into it or not. And they did enough where it's like, you know, you shouldn't trust the narrative, but it's the only narrative we're getting. So what else are you supposed to do? So it's kind of like, it just left, that was the point, this whole all feeling of, like, following this man that you don't know how much evil stuff he's actually doing or what's justified or not. But we can only go by what we see. And we see him, you know, real romantic kiss right there. I'm like, you see that there, the stuff with the mom, which is like... And it's about talking to Arlene. She's like, well, you know, you push people in the bad situation. Sometimes they lash out. And I'm looking at her like, yeah, I might sleep upstairs tonight.
Yeah. You're worried about someone breaking in the theater? You're living with one of them.
I can see where they coming from. I was like, I can see it too. But the difference is, like, I know it's a movie. And for me personally, it's not going to influence me to do certain things. But I work at a place, and I live in a place surrounded by a lot of people who I know get influenced by stuff like that. We have had people who have wrecked shop both at my job and my city, both in the past and the recent present. It don't take that much, and that's the thing, like, you don't know about and she don't know about. It's kind of like, it's a whole little subset of people out there that's just kind of like, if you really knew what's going on in their head, you would walk on the other side of the street, and they out and about. Like, people ain't just saying this stuff because, like, oh, we just afraid just to be afraid because we in our safe space. It's like, nah, this, no. You might hear that from, like, a entertainment show. I got an email from the Department of Defense. They ain't going to say some silly shit like that just for nothing. Like, it's, they drag their feet with everything like that, so they say stuff for a reason. Like, it's a reason people say stuff like that. Because everybody can't divorce, you know, like I say, entertainment isn't always entertainment. You understand it's entertainment because you're a grown-ass man with a retirement account. I understand it's entertainment.
Two of them.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Two.
$500 yep. whole dollars in my IRA. Fucking hey, right.
Or, gotta start somewhere. Like, we're both...
Whatever.
Hey. 500 more than having nothing. So it's hard. Like, we're both grown adults and we can separate entertainment from reality in this case. But I also understand that a lot of people don't. And I also understand, which is why I was getting mad, that the director really does. He wants to influence people and have people think, but not take any responsibility. I'm like, no. If you're going to do your movie, do it. Be like Mel Gibson. Claim that shit. Like, be like Michael Bay. Go all in. This is what I do. This is why I do it. You either in or you not in. I ain't apologizing for nothing. This is a story I'm telling. Whatever happened, happened. Kiss my ass. Don't be all tough when you first start doing it. And then the first time somebody asks a question, oh, you know, you trying to bully me. Like, no. That's why I was bothered by it. Not the fact that they did it. It's the fact that you did it to have a reaction. And then you got the reaction that you wanted. And you didn't like it. It's like, you know, you put too much hot sauce in your food. Don't be surprised if you burn your tongue.
Speaking of food, do you have Chick-fil-A's down there? I've been meaning to ask you this.
Yes.
Okay. Have you tried their mac and cheese? I know this is totally out of the blue, by the way. This is out of nowhere. I've been meaning to ask you this since they advertised it. I'm just curious.
I would just answer your question with a question. Do you think I would try that mac and cheese?
No.
Okay. That is it. Okay. And
that was easy.
Yes. No, I have not tried that mac and cheese. I'm sure it's quaint.
Dude, I'm not a big mac and cheese fan anyways. The older I'm getting, the more like side dishes and that shit, I don't need it. Just give me the main course, and that's it. Just keep everything else. I don't want anything else.
I love mac and cheese, which is why I would never trust mac and cheese from a chain or a restaurant that didn't have a black person cooking.
Okay.
So,
especially a chain. Like, a chain wouldn't matter who's cooking it. Dude, there's no... I mean, regardless of what you want to put in your stuff, there's not even... By the commercial, I don't see one fleck of pepper, like black pepper. Just any sort of seasoning in the thing.
Hey.
It's just nothing in there. Like,
chains ain't using no seasoning this size unless it's like... Southern base. It's amazing. Man. I always make the joke. People went to
based
war
out of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they forgot their roots. I make the joke all the time. People went to war over salt and pepper, and now it's like, oh, we ain't using it no more. Like, how many people died so we could season our food? And now you're like, oh, what's in the mac and cheese? A macaroni and cheese. And what else? Love.
Dude, love.
You.
Fuck you. What the Love's not real. What are you talking about?
Like, yeah, you better season that damn food and get out of my face. But no, I have not. Okay. I saw a commercial for the mac and cheese, and I just laugh. I'm like, yeah, I tried it. Like, no, I've tried mac and cheese from other places, and most of the time I have been disappointed, to put it mildly. So I don't even bother these days.
Yeah, Elisa, two of the girls she works with, they're younger, and they were raving about it. And I'm like, you know it's not good, right? Like, I know you shouldn't be this way. I don't need to try it to know it's not good.
They don't know any better.
You know?
I mean, they don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it's not their fault. If you don't know any better, you don't can judge based on what you know. And it's like, if they think it's good, then
yeah, I also don't think
heaven helped them.
From what she's told me, these girls aren't very smart either. Because, like, so they're in a corporate environment, like a big corporation, okay? So they're two African-American girls. Mm-hmm. They actually went up, they go up to Elise and ask her, hey, do you wash your legs? And Elise looks at her and is like, what?
And they're like, oh, that's a reason.
She goes, we heard white people don't wash their legs. They just let the water. And yeah. Elise looks at him like, of course I do. What's the matter with you? Like,
oh, Jeremy. That's a thing.
Okay, and this is what I'm talking about, though.
I would never ask someone that, but it's a reason where that question came from, because apparently it's a lot of people that feel like that's a waste of soap, so...
Wow. I
you don't know how you Cousins are rolling.
Leaving this planet. When are we leaving this planet? Because I have to go with them. I don't want to be around that.
You have no idea what some of your brethren practice. I'm telling you this right now. You think she does that question? Right, I will defend that question right there. Although I wouldn't ask somebody that question.
You ask it outside of work. If I ask you something like that, yeah, we know each other. They work together and kind of know each other.
That's something you ask when you know people. But trust me,
yeah,
that question came because of a reason. Because yeah, we heard some. Twice, three times a week, man. I just hit the important parts. I don't need to do the legs. It's like, who sees my legs? Yeah, we've heard things.
Now, I've heard that with shaving legs.
No, we have heard that when washing legs, and we have looked. Miss Zazzy Beats herself has said some stuff like that, talking about Americans shower too much as it is, and y'all be wasting water. And we, yeah, so.
She's got a French name, that's why.
Is that she's German, not half German.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, and I'm like. We've heard some things about how washing certain body parts seem to be overrated because of natural oils and fragrances, and I'm like,
Yeah. Listen, I know neither one of us have hair, and I know that Darlene's hair is drastically different than Elise's hair. There's no way around that. Elise washes hers every day. Now, she doesn't exactly have long hair. If she doesn't, it's disgusting. I know people. I actually do know. Like white girls. It's only white girls, by the way. Or my gay friends. I don't understand this. But anyways, before we go off on a totally different tangent. they have long, full hair, and they don't wash it for the entire week. And by the end of the week, they're just putting it up in a bun. And I go, why don't you wash your hair? It's gross. Well, all the oils in that, is, you know, it helps your hair grow. And I'm like, you've had your hair up for the last 3 days because it looks terrible.
It's growing.
Why do you care? Like, yeah, your bun's glowing. Cool. I wish I would have thought of that. There's a reason we don't, like, write with feathers anymore. There's better ways of doing it. There's a reason we don't take baths anymore. I mean,
I have had conversations with certain people, and I've tried to hear their logic. And I work in healthcare. I'm like, we work in the healthcare field where we stress how important I got to wash my hands for 2 minutes before I go and make an IV. And they're like, oh, you know, you really got to wash your face because – got the natural oils and overwashing. You strip the oils. I'm like, you know what else you strip? Dirt. And you're not going to put the oils back by putting some damn facial moisturizer on it, you damn caveman. Yeah. Like,
I drive with the windows down. I'm cleaning brake dust off of my face, too. So it's just.
I'll be looking at people. I'll be feeling like Lacey Evans, like, you damn nasties. Like,
yeah.
So.
Well, wait a minute. Am I a Lacey Evans fan now? No.
I hope not.
Oh, no.
And you're not going to be a rant. And. Even if you were a Randy Orton, you weren't a Randy Orton fan. You ain't going to be one today either. So I wish you to find out what happened with him.
No, what did he do? What did he do now?
Let's just say.
I thought Randy was on the cool list again. Like, finally. Like, he'd gotten to the point.
Well, I would just put it. It's a reason why people made a joke saying he should have been on Team Hogan, not Team Flair. And he kind of reinforced that.
All I saw was. All I'm seeing is that he. Oh. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know what? Right.
That's what he's doing.
Not surprised.
No one's, that's the whole thing. No people who know Randy Orton isn't surprised, and that's the thing. It's like, I heard the story. I'm like, oh, well, it's been a few years, so I ain't that surprised. And then you're like, oh, well, maybe he's just tired. Yeah, when I'm tired, everything just fall out my mouth.
Okay, that's not a real. That's not. No one really tried making that excuse. That's impossible.
That's people, man. You know, when you're tired and stressed, sometimes you just say stuff and you didn't mean it. And I'm like, what the hell? How tired do y'all be? It's like I guess I hadn't been sleepy enough to just be letting slurs just roll out my mouth. Oh, you know, I just need my nap.
Wow.
All right, Archie Bunker.
I mean, never mind. It's just.
Yes, people made that excuse. He was tired. He had a long day. And somebody made a point like, okay.
Why is he on Twitch? Go to bed.
I mean, like, what they have to do with Sammy Guevara? Even if you see, like. You what? Watch, like.
Okay. I saw a tweet. All right, what did he do?
Yeah, it's like he was dropping language he shouldn't have been dropping watching during Twitch watching AEW. And they like, not only was it wrong, it didn't even match the context. And he's like, oh, he didn't mean it because he let Randy Orton pin him in their last match. Like, it was like he was the booker. And I was like, yeah.
Did they take... Oh, okay, here it is. Did they take the... Okay, I'm trying to find the... There it is. He's talking.
Yeah, I don't know if the clip's still there. Let's just say he used the word that Hulk Hogan got in trouble for, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Come on, Randy. Drop it. Let's go. Almost there. What? Come on.
You go waiting, like taking biscuits out the oven. Come on, it's a few more seconds. You probably won't hear it anymore. It probably got scrubbed.
No, it's still up. I'll listen to it later. That was bad. So, oh. Yeah. I don't.
Whatever. I know. You don't know listen, why people do stuff they do.
In the old days, like I don't listen to much rap anymore. But I'll own up to it. When I listened, when Dre, Snoop, all that was the big stuff, I didn't blur out any words. I didn't bleep out any of the words. I'm like, fuck yeah, this is the coolest shit ever. But as an adult, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, but so, you're an adult now, you understand. You know who else is an adult with kids? Randy Orton.
With a new kid, and then his old kids, and then the other ones. So it's like, seeing her, I can't imagine that she's probably like, I can't believe you said that. She's like, why are you saying that in public?
Yeah. So. Well, he hear voices in his head. They talk
to him. Saying.
And they talk to him that night. Yeah, they talk to his ass.
Hey, we got an idea. You should say this. All right, let's get the hell out of here. You got to get to work. So.
Yeah. So I would just say before we go, Matthew Vaughn said that he would love to write and direct the Fantastic Four film as the characters were originally written. He did direct, to many people, the most beloved X-Men movie we got, which is First Class. I don't love it as much as everyone does, but it was definitely a great movie. I'm looking forward. I've enjoyed his Kingsman movie. I'm looking forward to this next one that's coming out, this prequel.
Yeah.
And Digimon Hansu's in it because he's in everything that Morgan Freeman isn't in and Samuel Jackson isn't in. It's just kind of like, does that man ever take a break? And he's in there with abs. And he ain't young.
No. And I was on the fence about that. Like, I see a prequel. Like, do we really need this? But then I'm like, oh, this looks pretty cool, actually. So
yeah,
we'll see. And I'm guessing, is that the younger Colin Firth? I can't remember his
character. I don't know if it's the... were you talking about the kid?
Yeah.
Mike? I mean, I don't know. They don't really say. So, I mean, but it's like that's Kingsman fine. Started a long... No, because that'd been too far back. It's like World War.
Oh, yeah. That's hold on.
Colin Firth ain't that old. So, but yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it. At first, I was feeling the same way you know, it's a prequel and stuff. You kind of know what happened. But the trailers look cool. Like, Matthew Vaughn, I've liked most of his stuff he's done. So, yeah.
There was a trailer that they showed, and it actually had, I'm thinking it's Mark Strong's, it was a new Guy Ritchie film. He's gone back to the gangster stuff.
Okay.
And it had Mark Strong's kid in there.
Wow.
And it said, like, something Strong, and then they showed him, it was like, he kind of looks like his dad.
So, well, Mark Strong's old enough to have a son that's in his 20s. And it's funny, I guess, you know, Guy Ritchie go back to his roots after all that damn Aladdin money.
Did he make Aladdin?
Yes!
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Yeah, he made Aladdin. And that movie made a crap load of money, contrary to what everyone else thought. So, and they're busy working on a sequel, because when your movies make over $1 billion, you make sequels to them.
All right. Well, we can get into some of that next week. We do have to go. Gemini Man is next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go see that one. So I'm very curious about that. So anyways, thanks for listening, everyone. All that good stuff. I'll let Shee take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and don't wear tighty-whities if you weigh less than 100 pounds. We are out.